exhausted, but ladies, we need time out. We need time out to just gather together as ladies. And today I am just so happy. Where's Audrey? Audrey, where are you hiding? Come stand by me while I introduce you. My husband couldn't see you this morning. You're just kind of... You blend, and she's all the way from Africa, go figure, Tanzania. Well, let me tell you about Audrey. The first time I met Audrey, she was in her mother's womb.
A few years ago,
yes. Lois would say amen to that. But her mom and dad had three sons, and back then I don't think they even knew that you were going to be the little princess on arrival. I think ultrasounds weren't real popular. Oh, I don't want to age her, but, you know, ultrasounds weren't real popular back in those days. But they were blessed with their little princess girl. What a joy. I still remember that whole scene, you know, that the three boys and then Audrey. But we cannot forget Justin arrived after. He was the exclamation point to that whole situation. But anyway, Audrey has been such a joy for my husband and I to watch and grow up in the Lord. And even while she was in Michigan, she was in our congregation for a while, we used to get together and crochet. Mostly we talked, and once in a while we would take a stitch, and then we would talk and share her heart, or our hearts together. She's always just been such a blessing. We visited them in Tanzania. She has a lovely home. She's made a lovely house a home. One thing, and I tell her this every time I see her, it says, Audrey, every time I see you, I just remember what's growing in your yard. They're this big. The avocados are that big. And each one could have a meal on an avocado. But she has a lovely home. And now it was really on her family's heart that her mom and dad are aging. They're our age. So now I'm going to date us with our age. They had a lovely little building in the back of their yard where Daniel had lived as a bachelor apartment for a while. Well, that had to be redone to accommodate her mother. The owner of the home was so kind, and they've expanded that, and her mom and dad will be living in the house behind them now. And that is so wonderful. It's so comforting when you become older, that your children love you enough that they can have you that close to you. That is so comforting. But I know God has really spoke to her. We've had a few chats, and I said, Audrey, I know my husband and I heard from the Lord, and we are delighted to have her share with us this morning. Let's welcome her.
Thank you very much. I want to say that in spite of what my husband said this morning, I am honored to be sharing with you ladies. It's just a little bit of a scary honor. So I think many of you can understand that. Well, I want to start off and just share a little testimony, and this will play into my message. And I just want to tell you, I had a fantastic birthday this year. I just had a really good birthday. And the main reason for it was that it was the first birthday in a number of years where I wasn't depressed. I know you're thinking, she's not that old. I'm 35. It really had nothing to do with my age. And now some of you are thinking, wow, she is old. And the other half are going, she's really young. But it was because year after year, I was having this conversation, mostly just with myself. And the conversation always went along these lines. Wow, another year has gone by, and you're still fighting with the same sins. Sorry. The last few years, the conversation started progressing, and it progressed like this. Well, it's been so long, Audrey, and this sin is so strong in your life, you're never going to get victory. Last year, God gave me this amazing perspective and this ability to step back from myself and hear what I was saying. And I realized that I was believing a lie and that I was limiting God and tying his hands because I was saying, God, what I have in my life is too strong for you to break. And just this year, finally, I was able to have a birthday and just rejoice and celebrate it and not beat myself up for the things that aren't accomplished yet. So that was a precursor to this message. And then when I first came to the States, actually, Aunt Angeline asked me to share for the ladies. And so probably for a good month and a half, I was praying off and on. All right, Lord, what do you want me to share? I need a message. You know, getting a little maybe nervous. And I felt God speak this phrase to me one day while we were driving. And the phrase was, the power of the lies we believe. The power of the lies we believe. And as I thought about that, I had to add another phrase. And that second phrase was, the power of the God that we serve. And, you know, when we believe lies in our lives, it is crippling. And it really does limit what God can do. And in Jeremiah 32:27, I think we all know this verse. In fact, we sing it. Great song. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And we need to have those hearts that go, there's not anything too hard for you, Lord. There's not anything too hard for you. And so this is my message today for us. The power of the lies we believe, and the power of the God we serve. And we know that in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says the devil is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. And we need to recognize, first of all, where those thoughts, where those things come from. The only problem is, when it comes to lies, there's usually a little bit of truth to them. We wouldn't believe them if they were blatant lies. For the most part. But the problem is, there's just that tiny little bit of truth in the lie that deceives us into believing it. And I want us to keep that in mind as we continue today. And I want to just read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. Actually, I'm not going to read because of time. We'll just consider it. This is when the spies were sent out to spy the land, the 12 spies, to see what was what and to bring back the report. And they came back. And they came back with this following conclusion. We are not able to go up against these people because they are stronger than we are. And in one sense, that was true. They were a strong people. They were giants in the land. Totally true. But they were not looking with eyes of faith. They were looking in the natural. And we know there were two spies, Caleb and Joshua, that said, no, we are able, we are well able to go up. Because our God is able. And they said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to overcome. Now, there are two areas that God laid on my heart when I was considering this. And maybe they apply to you, and maybe they don't. But I feel that there are things we are more susceptible to as women. And so there's two areas of lies. The first one is lies of inadequacy. Or lies of insecurity. And this is probably my biggest struggle, which is one reason why I'm hesitant to teach any ladies, especially at convention. And the second one are lies of comparison. Lies of comparison. So just to explain those a little more, I don't want to focus on them, but I'll throw them out there. Lies of inadequacy or lies of insecurity, they go something like this. I'm not good enough, or strong enough, or smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough, or pretty enough. I'm not worth enough. Lies of comparison. These get kind of fun. There are, I call them our if I would lies. So they go like this. If I had her job, if I lived where she lived, if I had her parents or her pastor, if I were on that mission field, and there's a couple here that you'll really appreciate. If I were married, if I had her husband, I would submit. I would be happy. I would be content. I would be fulfilled. I wouldn't complain. The if I would lies, and they're all lies of comparison. And they're strong, but they're lies. We want to be very clear. And I really feel that these two groups of lies go hand in hand, and they kind of work together. The lies of inadequacy, they're like valleys in our lives. The lies of comparison are areas of pride or excuses that we use to make ourselves feel better about our inadequacies. I'm going to say that again. The lies of inadequacies are the valleys in our lives, weak places, low places. But the lies of comparison are areas of pride and excuses that we use to make ourselves feel better about those inadequacies. They're like mountains. You rarely will find valleys without mountains nearby. It can happen. I did search it last night. Very rarely. And you will never find mountains without valleys nearby. They go hand in hand. And they work together. But I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. I think these are verses we're all familiar with, but they're really good ones. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain or smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I want his glory revealed in my life. But I need his Holy Spirit to come with the bulldozer, and I need him to level those mountains, to flatten the hills, and to fill in those valleys. Because there are valleys in my life. There are things where I am weak. There are areas where I am not enough. But he is enough. Yes, amen. And there are areas where I am proud, where I am too much, and I need Jesus to come and take me away. So that his glory can be seen. So that we are prepared for his glory. Where is our focus? I came across an interesting definition of valleys, and I want to read it to you. Valleys are depressed areas of land. Honestly, when I read that, I just started laughing. Boy, are they. Valleys are depressed areas of land scoured and washed out by the conspiring forces of gravity, water, and ice. And sometimes in our lives, there are things that conspire against us, and they cause depression. And if we focus on those valleys, we will be depressed. But if we're focusing on God, he will bring change in his time, and we will see the good things come. I want to share a few keys to help us with some of these things. So I'm just going to mention a verse, I guess. I think we have time to read them, actually. It's good. That clock is my friend. In the book of Philemon, verse 6, it says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. And so one key is to acknowledge the good things that God has already done in our lives. Acknowledge the good things that God has already done in our lives. And when we do that, it's a witness to other people. It says it communicates our faith to them. It shows our faith. Our second key, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you yes. will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes. We are works in progress, ladies. Be confident in God's desire and ability to complete his work in our lives. Be confident in his desire and his ability to complete that work because of his love for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And this one is, I think, a challenge for a lot of women. And this verse talks about comparison. Now, the problem that I see is that many times we use comparison to relate to other people, to try to understand them better. But the problem is when we take that comparison and we use it to make ourselves feel better, instead of to understand their situation better or just to relate to them. And it says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Yes. Stop comparing yourself with anyone but Jesus. Pretty simple, right? I know this is all stuff that we've heard before, we're familiar with these verses, but I really believe that God wants to give us victory. Yes, amen. He wants to give us victory today in our lives in some of these areas. Yes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So, ladies, stop the lies. Be your own truthful neighbor. Okay, when you have those conversations with yourself, because we all do it, be truthful. And be truthful from the truth of God's word. So be your own truthful neighbor. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation or character be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we need to be content with Jesus. Be content with Jesus. Yes. He is enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on our victory through Christ. Not our victory in and of ourselves, not someone else's victory that they've won. The victory that we get through Christ, through our relationship with him. Focus on that victory through Christ. Well, there's one last thing that I want to consider, one example from Scripture I want to use. And I want to talk and just really focus on God as a God of change. He's a God of change. He's a God of power. The power of the God we serve. I think we're all familiar with the story of Jacob. God did a tremendous work in his life over many years. And he was given three different names in Scripture. First of all, he was called Jacob, which meant deceiver. Secondly, he was called Israel, which meant prince with God. And then thirdly, I don't think he was even called this until after he was dead, but he was called Jeshurun, which means straightened. And just the tremendous power of God to work and to change. And when he was given those different names, it showed how his character was being changed, how his heart was being changed. And that's what God wants for us. Now, there's an interesting fact in his life. For many years, 22 years actually, Jacob believed a lie. He believed that his son Joseph had been killed. For 22 years, he grieved his son, and it affected his relationships with his other sons. It affected his relationship with Benjamin. We know the story. There was a famine in the land, and the brothers had to go to Egypt. And by then, Joseph was ruling on the throne, and they went up, but Benjamin didn't go. He didn't want to let go of Benjamin. And eventually, Joseph, you know, required them to send Benjamin up. I think we are all familiar with the story. But it really did. It affected his relationship with his sons. It affected his life for 22 years. He believed a lie. He thought it was true, but it was a lie. And when the time was right, and God had worked in the situation, and he had worked in all of their lives, God revealed the truth. And he was reunited with his son. His life applies to us in two different ways. That first one being, he believed that lie. For years, he believed something that was not true. But in God's time, he showed him the truth. And I believe that it's time for us today. No more lies. It's time for us to believe God's truth. And then the second way that his life applies to us is seeing how God worked in Jacob and how God changed him and God improved him and God straightened him. Psalm chapter 146, verse 5. Psalm chapter 146, verse 5. It says, happy or blessed is the man, or is he, that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Do we have the God of Jacob for our help? We do. And what's so special about that is that it really shows us the heart of God. Because he could have said, happy and blessed is the man that has the God of Jeshurun, who's already perfect, who's been straightened, who's had the work done. But God identifies himself time and time again, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, as the God of Jacob, because he is the God of change, he is the God of power. And there is nothing too hard for him. He's still changing lives today, and there's nothing too hard for him. And that's what I'd like to leave you ladies with today, just those thoughts. Yes, there's power in these lies, but we don't have to believe them. We can refuse them, we can reject them, and we can focus on the power of God to change us.
Okay, now, we can all agree Audrey's had the word of the Lord for us. We can all agree, can't we? So that means she's had the word of faith. She met God, and she had faith in what God said to speak to us. Audrey, as we stand up now as women, I want you to pray that the mountains will come down. Okay, then we'll pray that the valleys are filled up. But first the mountains come down. And the mountains were?
Areas of pride. Oh, I can't think now. Thank you, yes.
And comparison. Okay, let's all stand. Okay, so, you know, no one is feeling pointed out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take pride first. Okay, I want you to pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. Mm. We thank you for your power to work in our lives. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your word that speaks to us and changes us.
Yes.
And Father, right now, we believe together
Hallelujah, Lord.
For these areas of pride,
yes,
for these
Lord.
Lies of comparison to be
yes.
broken,
yes,
to
Lord.
Be flattened.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we just pray that you would come with your Holy Spirit. You would change us. You would flatten these areas. Just remove them, oh God. Remove the pride. Remove the pride. Remove those comparisons. Take them out of our minds and out of our hearts, Lord. That we would no longer compare ourselves, that we would no longer believe that if I do this or if this is different, then that is better. But we would learn to trust you and we would rest, oh God, in your goodness. We would rest in you, Jesus, because you are enough. We thank you in Jesus' name.
I just feel as you go in your day and your week ahead, God is going to, again, list something in your life that is a problem. Remember this day we built an altar. Remember this day. Remember what we did. We stood up. And when that the name of that thing comes to you, I want you to lift your hands and say, Father, I surrender and submit it now to you. Okay? Because I believe this word is ongoing. I believe it's a word of faith. And it's going to perform more than what you even had surfaced right now. Okay? So it's an ongoing thing. Okay, the next part was the valley. Okay? And the valley represented?
The inadequacies.
Our inadequacies. And all of us feel that. Kind of leans over to comparison a lot of times, too. Mm-hmm. Audrey, would you lead us for that?
Father, we just lift ourselves to you today. We lift our hearts before you, O God, and we ask you to fill in those valleys.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we just ask for those areas where we need more of you, that you would come by your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You would come and you would fill in those areas.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray against these lies of inadequacy, these insecurities, these things that would hold us back and keep us back in the background when we should be pushing forward, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We just pray against all of these valleys, Lord, and we look to you and we thank you, O God, for your power. We thank you for your love for
us.
Meet with us today, Lord. We thank you in Jesus'
name. I just feel, again, to say to you, I feel more inadequacies are going to surface to your mind. Keep open that thought of surrender and submitting it to the Lord, okay? You know, in the last days, the Lord said he's going to do a quick work, a highway prepared quickly. You know, there's not going to be time to do the hill and the valley thing. We're going to quickly bring people to the Lord if we can be a highway for the Lord Jesus to walk up and through our life to affect many. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you believe it. I believe it. Let's tell the Lord. I believe it. I believe you can change us, Lord. I believe it, Lord.
We believe in your power
to change us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, my Audrey girl. Love you too. Okay, you can be seated. Now, Donna, come join me, please. Donna Heyer. Donna has been through many experiences in her life. She's a cancer survivor, for one thing. And I remember those days walking through her, those very bleak days, but God met with them and her. And she's the mother of three, which we have her exclamation point in her family was Miss Sarah. Broken family, thank you so much for Sarah. And the rest of us too, of course. And she is grandmother over six. Okay, yeah, I did count right. She is, I think, the newest grandma amongst us. She just viewed the little, heard the news.
A week ago today.
A week ago today. Anybody beat that? Anybody in the last 7 days have a new grandbaby? No. No, so that's for you. But we thank the Lord. She has been, she was a professional career woman that gave up her career to raise her family. You know, a lot of times this is very hard for a woman to do. She's been to college and had all the training, and yet when her babies came, she made a choice to stay home. That's a financial choice a lot of times in families, but she chose that. And I asked Donna, again, my husband and I, you know, when I presented, I said, you know, I had a conversation with Donna. I feel she has something to share with our ladies. And she's coming from the fact of being a professional person, a mom, a wife, and a pastor's wife. And I hope we can hear the message that is very, very strong and significant in Donna's experience in life today. Let's welcome Donna as she comes to us.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you. Just prelude, like, I mean, I can't, this is sort of part of the message, but not really. I was 6 years old, and we had two missionary nurses in our home, And I told my mom after the visit and so on, I said, "Mom, I'm going to be a missionary nurse." I knew that at the age of 6. Now, I didn't necessarily become a missionary nurse, but I married a pastor. So I'm a full-time Christian service with my husband, but I'm also a nurse. I graduated in 1972, so that's 45, whatever, I don't even know how many years ago it was. And Sister Jolene was saying, there came a point in my life when my oldest son was coming, and that was 1979, and my husband and I sat down, and we said, you know what? I can't be a wife and a mom and a pastor's wife and be a nurse, because there's too many demands in the area of nursing. Something is going to give. So I chose at that point to set my nursing career aside. And I will tell you today, I have no regrets. There was a period of time, was 27 years, from when I set it aside until I picked it up again. I went back into nursing 27 years later with much fear and trembling. And I remember my boss had several options I work in long-term care. And they said, "Can you start next week?" And I looked at them and I said, "You realize I have not worked in nursing for 27 years. I'm sure I'm going to need a refresher course. There's so many things," and so on and so forth. And they said, "No, it'll be like riding a bike." Now, that's not totally true. But it was amazing how skills and mindset and the critical thinking that a nurse has to have to make decisions about so many things, it came back, and it was God. It was God. It was God. It was God. So I'm in my present position right now. I work part-time nights, and I'm also have just recently become a palliative resource nurse. I took further education. And I will tell you, I am in that spot right now where there is a tremendous anointing from the Lord in the area of palliative care and end-of-life care. But that's all I'm going to say, because I have so many things to share, and I'm less than almost 16 and a half minutes left. So this all came about. Sister Jolene and I had a conversation several months ago. And there was a situation at work. There was a very qualified registered nurse who sort of stepped into a managerial position because we had several people on maternity leave. And something was not right. She was an awesome, excellent nurse. I would learn from her different things and just different observations and different assessments and so on. But there was something not right. And then one morning I heard her complaining, speaking negatively about management to a personal support worker who got an earful. And I just happened to hear a little bit of the conversation. I went home and I was very grieved because it was so negative. So I sat down and I just said, "God, this is disturbing me. It's not really, I don't even really know all the ins and outs, but something's going on and it's disturbing me." So I prayed and I felt the Lord say to me, "Go to your boss, your director of care, tell her three things. Number one, that you are 100% committed to support behind her decisions. Number two, that you will continue and will be a faithful employee. And number three," and then that conversation was, "tell her that you are praying for her decisions and choices and whatever is all on her shoulders." I came into the hallway at Lanark. She's there, and I said, "Deborah, I need to talk to you. There's a couple things I need to share with you." I start sharing. I said the first part of the thing. She burst into tears. She said, "We got to go talk in my office." She took me into her office. She has poured her heart out to me. And she said, and I said to her, I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't need to know what's going on. But I am committing myself to do the best job I can here at Lanark and supporting you as my boss. And it turned out that I could share with her that I pray for her. And I said, Lord, I'm committed now to pray for her. I will be praying for her for wisdom. And she's not a Christian, but I'm praying and praying and praying. And something happened in that conversation with her. It opened my heart to her, and it opened her heart to me. So here is a secular situation. So then, just nutshelling it again, I'm talking to Sister. I went home and shared with my hubby, and then I sat down and I felt the Lord say, go to Sister Jolene and say the very same thing. I'm committed to you as a pastor's wife. I will be a faithful pastor's wife under your leadership and pray for you and encourage you and whatever. And we did. And then it just opened up and we just talked about so many different things. Well, and then Sister Jolene just asked me a couple weeks ago if I could share a little bit about that situation. So I went to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, how do I incorporate this from the workplace to the spiritual? So from the natural to the spiritual. And there were three scriptures that came to my heart, and I'm going to read bits and pieces of the first two. First one is Romans 13, 1 and 2, and this is out of the New King James. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. And I'll just continue. The authorities are, number one, are appointed by God. Therefore, and when we always see a therefore in Scripture, it's there for a reason. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And this is key, those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Okay? So I'm hearing this. And as we're talking, it is, ladies, let's be honest with each other. It's so easy to speak negatively, isn't it? It's so easy to speak concerns and negativity to others rather than the person that we're thinking who might we need to be talking to, our authorities. It's so easy. It is so easy, and it's so easy. So God help each one of us not to stop that. Stop the negative talking. Stop the negative talking to others. If we have a concern, we go to our authority. We go to the person that there is a concern about. But you know, we got to be reminded. We just have to be reminded all the time. And I'm speaking to me. This isn't just to you. This is to me as well. And we all have authorities in our lives. We've got our bosses if we're in the workplace. If we're single young ladies, we've got our fathers. If we're married women, we have our husbands. If we're pastors' wives, we've got our pastor. And that we're just going up the chain. And then, as a pastor's wife and a pastor, who is our authority? Board of Directors of Zion Fellowship, Pastor Tucker and Mrs. Tucker. They're our authorities, and they're the ones that have been given to us by God. I mean, this is not, they didn't choose to become our authorities. God chose. And so we're all in places of authority. So if we're in that spot, we must, before God, begin to realize the order that God has. Then, all right, we're not going to speak negatively. We're not going to speak to, you know how it goes, the gossip, nip, nip, zip, 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 tear around everybody else. So we not only don't want to speak negatively, we don't want to, and this is so prevalent, we'll listen. Somebody comes to you with negative things. We'll listen. So what you need to nip that in the bud. And so at work, it's becoming real obvious that not a whole lot of staff will come to me with a whole lot of negativities because I say to them, write it down, go to the director of care on this. She cannot do anything about this situation if she doesn't know about it, and it has to be written down. I mean, here we are. It has to be written down, and when you write it down, sometimes it isn't quite as elaborate or as bad as you think it is. But go to the boss. And yeah, I'm sort of there, but I'm not the top boss. So go to the boss, and then go with a hard attitude, not that I'm coming in to correct you, but if I have genuine concerns about something, can I share this with you? And sometimes don't be concerned if maybe leadership cannot tell you everything. Because that to me is huge, and my boss could not. I said to her, she's not going to tell me the situation. But I said, I don't need to know in order to be a faithful employee. I don't need to know all the ins and outs and the whys and the wherefores and so on. Sometimes it's explained to us, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a policy scenario, and I don't have the answers. It might come from the company that owns the nursing home or whatever. But my job is to submit, to do what I'm supposed to do, and be a faithful employee. It just keeps coming back to that, to be a faithful employee. So we translate that to the area of where we're at and in the spiritual realm. So we don't speak negatively. We don't talk to others about the situation or negative things. What do? We go to our authority. We go to whoever we have the concern about. We share our hearts. And this really struck me yesterday afternoon when Sister Jolene was sharing about a situation where she really did not share her whole heart to her husband about a certain concern on this mission trip. Sometimes, and this is called a informed decision, okay? Your boss or your husband or your pastor might not be able to make, I mean, God is God, and God can reveal things. He might not be able to make the correct, totally correct choice if he doesn't have all the information. Don't withhold. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. I just had a situation last Friday night, and it was a horrendous. It could have been a horrendous situation, and God was gracious. But I had a registered practical nurse that said to me, by the way, we have a fentanyl patch, which is a narcotic pain patch, is missing from a resident. Well, there was a whole lot more than that just statement, okay? So ultimately, it was on my responsibility. We had to find this patch or else we, whatever. God was clearly, there was a lot of protocol involved on that. 6 months ago, no, back in December, so that's what, 9 months ago, our nursing home put a policy in place about what to do for destruction of used fentanyl patches. Okay? Registered staff needs to know the whole procedure. We have to follow protocol. We cannot lose these things. We cannot put them in the medication bin you can't get your hands in there anyway, but we can't. We had, because there is a fentanyl crisis and our opioid crisis and everything going on in Ontario. I don't know if it's a problem here, but it sure is a problem in Ontario. So stuff has been put into place. So this RPN says to me, we're missing a patch. And I looked at her, I said, I'm pulling the information out of her. She's not volunteering information to me. A cavalier, nonchalant attitude. The burden was on me. What are we going to do? This all happened on evening shift. I'm here on night, so what do I do? But anyway, God looked after things, and the patch was found. Hallelujah. Because the police would have been called if we hadn't found the patch. So Monday morning, I sent a huge big email to my boss, talked to her on the phone Saturday morning, and I said, this is what happened, blah, blah, on and on and on and on and on. And then I felt, you know what, I didn't share everything I needed to share with her. Monday morning I called her, and then I said, I'm not wanting to be negative, but here is a situation where we've got an RPN, and I used the word cavalier. The only thing is, that's not the first time she's had this kind of an attitude towards authority. And she said, I will follow up on this, and I will deal with this. And I don't know if this lady has a job. She may very well have been terminated, even though she's seasoned and she's, you know, the rest of the nursing and so on and so forth. But her whole attitude was she did not take the time to learn the protocol, what needs to happen and what has to be followed. And we may think we have to do a whole bunch of extra things now because of that, of the situation. So I said, okay, God, here we are. I had to give the whole concern to my boss on Monday morning. So that's the thing. We open ourselves up, and we must, this is just coming to me again and again and again. We must present the whole picture. We must present the whole picture, whether it's to our husbands, whether it's to our pastors, whether it's going up the chain of command and leadership here, to whatever is applicable to us. We must. And in that process, we're opening our hearts. Okay? So the last point that it caused me, this RPN on Friday night did not cause me joy. She caused me huge grief until we had to deal with this situation. So, and I'm in, you know, I'm thinking and praying and meditating on what to share, and it was just like God gave me, and there's the situation, here we are, how are you going to respond, and so on. So, we are here, and this is another verse, Hebrews 13:17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for, and this is key, for they watch out for your souls, because, basically, and this is my paraphrase, because they give an account. So, my boss is accountable for me on the job. She better make sure I'm doing the job right. Pastor Tucker and Sister Jolene and the board of directors are responsible for us as pastors and pastors' wives. We better be doing the job right. And we better, and if we have questions or concerns, and we're not perfect. Oh my, we're not. But if we have questions and concerns, go to them, so that, give them the whole picture so that they can pray for us, encourage us, and tell us what needs to be done. You know what? That's the way it is. So they can do their job with joy so that we're not bringing grief, and that would not be, it would not be unprofitable for me. Okay? So here we are. We're not going to speak negatively. We're not going to speak negatively to others. We're going to go to our authorities with our concerns. We're going to pray, obviously. I mean, I'm just running out of time now. We're going to pray for our authorities, especially our spiritual authorities. And God, I may not know the whole picture, but just, I will pray. I will pray encouragement. I will pray, give them wisdom, because they've been given a vision. They've been given direction and whatever. So Lord, here we are. This is what we're going to do. And then I don't want to end negatively. And this, I am going to go over a few minutes here. The last point is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, I'm going to continue on, meditate on these things. Again, New King James. But the paraphrase here, and this is Donna Heyer's part, whatever you meditate on is going to come out of your mouth. So if you meditate on positive things, not don't make them up, but you look. look for positive things to share. And I'm just going to quickly talk about this. 2 months ago at work, all of us as employees were given this band. And it says, Lanark Heights, be respectful, do not gossip, be positive, and give great customer service. So, whoa, that's lovely. You get a little present from the company. No, there's a reason. We were given these bands to wear on our right hands, okay, at work. And every time we would start to say something negative to somebody or about somebody or whatever, we're to take that band off and put it on the left side. So what that is, we're trying to do, if we remember to wear our bands, what it is we're trying to mentally realize, okay, I got to zip the lip, put it on the left side, and say, God, help me to be positive. And actually, that actually worked. We've got an awesome social worker who I just love to bits because she was a former pastor's wife. We were talking about a really difficult family member of one of our residents. And this guy, you can't please him if you tried. So here we are. So we're chatting, and it was involving sort of this lady is this dear lady is deteriorating, and she's becoming, yeah, we're getting to that point where she's probably going to be, before very long, is going to be declared palliative. So we're talking, and Fimke and I were chatting away, and so, okay, we need to make sure she has pain control, we need to make sure we got symptom control, and my biggest challenge for work is, how do I help families? When a resident is starting to decline, I am so passionate about making sure it isn't just the resident, but it's the whole family that we're dealing with. So when we're talking, and Fimke said, oh, she said, you know what? She said, I'm talking too negatively about this family member. So she took her bracelet off and put it on her other hand. So I asked the Lord, I said, I'm not maybe the greatest teacher in the world, but the teaching in me says, I want a visual to all of you ladies, and I don't have enough, but I went to the dollar store, and I couldn't find bands, okay? So I got some hair bands that are stretchy. And I would ask you, putting a thing on your wrist isn't going to change your heart. But if this can be a reminder of what we talked about today, okay, so we're going to be respectful one to another. We're not going to gossip. We're going to be positive as we are able to be positive. And we will give good customer service, but that's not just in the natural. We will give honor and glory to the Lord. And what it will do, it will bring a unity. And God, I want to be in unity. I don't want any. And last night's message, I'm just about weeping in the seat because I said, discord will destroy us. So we need to be in unity. But you know what? It starts with each of us individually. Yes. So ask God to help you. And I have 2 dozen here, and I'm going to ask my daughter Sarah to hand them out.
Okay, if you want one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I only have. Yes. Yes.
What allows you to take it
from the dad? A positive comment. And I mean, not something made up, but something that's genuine. Yeah, yes.
Be respectful, don't gossip,
be positive, and then give great customer service.
Oh, okay.
So let's translate that to, this is not just in the natural. We will honor our Lord.
Right.
All right, so Sarah has that.
Okay.
Before you go,
Yes.
I'm going to have you pray for grace and ability to obey that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Go ahead.
Lord Jesus, we are all guilty of negative talk. Nobody here can ever say that they haven't spoken negatively because it is so easy. God, will you begin to work in our hearts individually, one by one by one, Lord, that when we are tempted to say something negative or say something negative to others, Lord, just stop us short. And if, you know, just visualize this thing with this bracelet on our hands. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, help us, help us, Lord. Because if we don't turn that into a positive conversation and a conversation of good report, Lord, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you're coming. We know you're coming, and we know revival is coming. And Lord, help us, help us, help us to be examples of how to speak, of things of those are things that are honest and of good report. And Lord, help us, Lord. So we are so prone and so quickly to speak negative things, but help us, Lord. Just stop us in our tracks and help us to turn that to a positive situation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Donna.
Amen.
Thank you very, very much.
And I'm saying this to you again. I want to bring joy to your heart and not be a grief to you.
I receive that. And he receives
that. He received it. I know. That's because ultimately, when we do that to our authorities, we're doing that to our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Amen. Recently, husband and I, and this is just a follow-up on what we have been served, two wonderful meals today. A lot to meditate upon, a lot to think about, a lot to encourage ourselves out from ladies that are going through it, are walking through it, are being victorious in it, and gives us all great hope, doesn't it? But I want to end with one little thought. It was very interesting. My husband and I were doing a seminar. We just returned from Indonesia and Singapore, and we were doing a marriage seminar. And afterwards, there was a group, I would say six or seven girls on one side and these two other ladies on the other side. And they said, "Oh, we're singles. Will you pray for us? We want to meet the right one. And we really want to get married. Oh, will you pray for us?" You know, and we're just teaching about, you know, God's best in marriage, you know. And here they are. I mean, they were so desperate. And I said, "Sure, you know, oh, God, help these girls. Help them to patiently wait." And, Lord, just help them to be content in where they are right now. And wasn't the way they wanted to hear me pray. I knew that when I opened my eyes, they're like, you know, kind of like that. And then there were two married ladies here. So we had six or seven singles and two marrieds here. And I said, "Oh, are you single?" And they go, "No, we're married." And it was their excitement and their disdain was very strong. They wanted to be married. They wanted to be single. And, you know, afterwards we were talking with one of the pastors. And they said, "Well, we're having a struggle with some of our single girls. They go from one church to another church to another church. They're looking for men. They want to get married." And I said, "Oh, Lord, they are not going to get the right man." You know, if that is truly the motive of their heart, they won't. Oh, they might get somebody that wears trousers, but it's not going to be, you know, our Heavenly Father's choice. But two verses I just want to leave with you that have been very, very strong. I came out of that whole thing just very, very concerned, very, very concerned. The issue is contentment. And all of us have to face it. I face it every day. I do not like to dust. But you know what? I can't breathe. I have allergies to dust. So if I don't pick up the dust, I'm going to go into a worse situation with the dust. You know, and so I'm learning to have a happy heart while I dust, you know, or while I do my housework in different areas. But Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in so whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." That doesn't mean if you are in a line of 10 people at Walmart and all the other lines are just as filled up that you're standing there like this. Be content. Just stop and say, "Now, wait a minute. I'm going to be content. Obviously, Lord, you order my steps. There's some reason why I'm in this long line and I choose to be happy, you know, and you know, I choose to meet with you. I choose to be content." Take the simplest things and begin with that. You know, to be content, no matter what state you're in. We shop in New York and we shop in Pennsylvania. Whatever state you're in, you know what that means. That means wherever you find yourself, whatever you're doing, be content. And just stop yourself and let that anger evaporate out of your life, your discontent. Just let it go, because it's going to travel into other areas. If you don't take care of it, and the little stuff, you know, the little sticks rubbing together to make sparks can become a huge forest fire and destroy a lot. So you want to just take the little tiny things. And then in 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Isn't that neat? Great gain. We don't mean gaining weight, okay? I think of gain right away. Oh my goodness, the pounds. No, great gain. Great furtherance of our character and meeting with God. It can be great gain. We can catch his eye, you know, because of our attitude. And then verse 8, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Everybody is stressed today. Everybody's tummy is probably very satisfied. So can we be content right now? Yes. Okay, in about 3 hours, you're going to want to eat again. 2 hours. And, you know, you're going to start getting an appetite going again. But if it's longer, you still can be content, can't you? And I just felt the Lord speak that in my heart to pray that over you for contentment, and that you can share it with your daughters, you know, those that are waiting to want to get married, or those that are married and wanting their husband changed, you know, but that you can have a grace that they can learn contentment, because it's something you can receive from God. Pass it through your contented life and pass it on to others. Okay, so that's our last little prayer that we're going to ask the Lord to come and hear and receive and help us with. Okay? Father, I just pray for this group of ladies and the wonderful things, Lord. I just feel such tokens that you've given to us today to consider that can reshape and change us. Lord, I just pray now for contentment. Lord, even in the smallest little situation that the ladies are facing in their life, Lord, let them learn to be content. Lord, would you make that available for us, that in an even quick prayer to you, "Oh Lord, help me now," Lord, that you would pour forth contentment and help us, Lord, that we can be vessels to absorb it, to make it real in our life, and to pass it on to others. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, be with the ladies today. Lord, continue to bless us. We thank you for the words that we've heard in convention already. And Lord, give us hungry hearts, Lord. It's the last day of the great feast, and we want to hear from you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.